B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The telephone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Chris Sale did a conference call last hour. Thank you to both Jim and T-Bone for turning this around so quickly.
Nice job, boys.
There's some audio of it on various topics, some specific to him, some others about baseball. Why don't we start with what we've talked about in baseball playing without fans? And what he thinks is someone who played in that game that was in Baltimore, the Baltimore game that was played with no fans. I forget exactly the date on that. He was with the White Sox at the time. This was going back to 2015 was when that happened. There was unrest throughout the city. That was after the Freddie Gray incident in Baltimore. And so with protests going on in the streets of Baltimore, they decided to close the gates of the stadium and play without fans. And Chris Sale was there as a member of the Chicago White Sox at the time, and he has a sort of a different, or I should say unique perspective as a guy who's played in a major league game with no fans, and he talked about it today.
You were with the White Sox when they played that game in 2015 in April, I think it was, after the Freddie Gray death. And there were no fans in the stands. What would it be like if Major League Baseball resumes with no fans in the stands?
Yeah, it was definitely different. The game was way faster, I can tell you that. But it was a weird feeling having nobody in the stands. But you know, hey, sometimes you got to adapt. Sometimes you got to do some things for the greater good of what's going on around you. You know, is it ideal? I would say no, but at the same time, you have to be sensitive to your surroundings and what's going on. You know, if that's what it takes, you know, we got to do it, because I think, you know, sports by no means is on an important level for what's going on right now. You know, we're in a pandemic across, you know, this is worldwide.
Oh, this guy.
Well, you know, that's a really good answer, though.
We've got to do it for the greater good. He's not going to be there. He's not going to play.
He needs these guys to get paid, though.
He needs these guys to play. So that he can collect $30 million.
Yeah.
I'm going to step right up, do what I need to do for the greater good.
Here's my question.
You're not going to be doing anything. You're done. this is nonsense. So
here's my question. Why'd the game move faster without fans?
It's great. I don't know, but
what are you looking around in the stands in between pitches?
I'm guessing.
Would you hustle your ass out a little more to get out of there quicker? Why should it take longer with fans there? I don't understand that one.
It shouldn't, but I'm guessing it's because of whatever
no distractions,
in-stadium stuff was going on. There's no distractions. There's nothing slowing you down.
They're not taking 2 minutes to stroll to the plate with your song playing, with your strut and your slow walk.
Maybe we should eliminate that. Right. Maybe we should eliminate that.
Yeah, how about we put in a pitch clock? So one of the things we didn't discuss earlier was Rob Manfred in baseball, as part of this report from Jeff Passan, would be implementing an electronic strike zone right away. Got to keep the catcher and umpire distanced. Can't do that if he's behind the plate calling balls and strikes. And so they would implement electronic strike zone immediately. That would be baseball doing something positive in terms of, changing the game and changing the way it's played. It would be under the guise of social distancing, but it would be helpful, I think, for future years if they try it and it works well. Also, in that proposal that Jeff Passan reported about, doubleheaders with seven-inning games. How do you feel about that, seven-inning games?
I like that.
See, I love seven-inning games, and I know this is the one that people will
automatically dismiss and say, no, you can't do that. You can't shorten the length. Why not? That automatically solves the problem about the length of games. If you're going to do double headers, you can actually make them manageable. You know, talking about doing like actual double headers, not the day night with the hours down in between. But, you know, even with those, if you've got a 1 o'clock start and you do it in a 7 o'clock start, you're talking about, you know, all day, literally, you know, 10 hours to get this game done. If you move to seven inning games as a means to try and play these games, give people some kind of a product, I've been on board with the idea of seven inning games for years. And to do it now when you really need to do a compressed season and try and get as many games in as possible, I love that idea. I don't understand what the pushback is other than, no, that's not right. Baseball is nine innings. Well, says who? Why? Why does it have to be nine innings?
Well, says history.
I mean, I'm all for the game moving faster.
Yeah.
I'm all for the game moving faster.
And by the way,
seven inning games.
Yeah.
Or what it takes. I mean, what do you think of seven inning games? You know what I say to that? I don't know. I've never seen one at the major league level. Maybe I love them. Maybe it's great. Maybe it's something we should take a look at.
Yeah. Hey, like, how about give me 10 in a row? Yeah. Why not try 10 in a row in spring training next year? Just to get a feel for what they feel like. And not just one, but get a string of them together. At least you're not doing it in a regular season.
Yeah, you know? And it doesn't do anything for pace of play, but length of game, absolutely. Yeah.
You don't want a four-hour game.
No.
You want a three-and-a-half.
You want your two-and-a-half-hour baseball game, seven-inning games. There you go.
That's hockey, two-and-a-half? Hockey's two-and-a-half about,
yeah,
right?
Two-and-a-half, 240.
There you go.
Yeah, right around there.
Football's around three. Somewhere in there, 245. Let's go.
Chris Sale has something on the passing report, in fact, these details, the proposal, and staying put in a hotel.
I don't know. I think that's going to be a case-by-case, kind of issue. I think, I mean, to answer your question, I think it's going to be tough. I don't know if I could look at my kids just through a screen for 4 or 5 months. Same thing goes with my wife, you know, just not being able to be around. That's a long time. But, you know, people have done it in harsh scenarios, I guess. But I think that there's a lot of figuring out to do. I think there's a right way to do this, and I'm confident that Major League Baseball, the Players Association, all the owners, all the teams, players. I think that we're going to be able to find a way to come together and iron this stuff out and figure out a way that's safe and a way that's going to please the masses. And whatever that is, I don't know. I'm glad I'm not the one that has to figure all that out. But I think, you know, we have all the right people in the right spot to figure out the best way to do this. And, you know, I'm as interested as anybody to see how all this shakes out.
That's Chris Sale saying, nah, we're not going to stay in the hotel. That's never going to work. That's not going to work. But we'll
case
figure it
case.
Out, yeah. Which is we'll agree to it, and then we'll just leave the hotel. That's what
exactly.
It is. That's how they're going to do it, because Chris Sale, who told you, you know, for the greater good, we got to get back to work, despite him having no work on his schedule.
Right.
For this
season. And they're so used to, like, traveling on the road and eating together and doing that stuff and hitting bars. They're going to have to, like, eventually, like, we're going to have to attempt to secure a sports bar. We'll have it fumigated. We'll keep people out of it. And this way, the players could have a release to go there one day a week. They could play video games. We've cleaned all those machines. We have a select menu they could order from. They could have wine or beer. And just keep everything condensed, but give them some sort of normalcy. I'm sure they'll be right in on that.
I would imagine Chris Sale is going to be given the option as a player who's done for the year. You know, do you want to come for 4.5 months or you want to stay home?
Stay home.
You're definitely going to be allowed to stay home. You think he's going to pick voluntarily for the greater good to be there with his teammates? No.
No.
He's going to be sitting at home going, I'm glad these guys are playing because now I'm getting my $30 million. That's what he's going to be doing.
That's an easy one.
Of course it is. I wouldn't even blame him. Like, why would you go if you're not playing? You got no hope of playing. Tony's in Worcester. Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
That was kind of a stunning statement by Sale. Yeah, I as we're going through this, everybody out here, you know, in this messed up situation, you know, everybody's got these different levels of difficulty, and some people have kids in the hospital that they can't be with,
And it's just these guys seem so detached and clueless as to what everybody else is going through. They just they're making it really hard for me.
How so? What did Chris Sale? What did Chris Sale say that offends you so much?
Why are you so offended by Sale?
That he's talking about sacrifice and doing the right thing for the greater good and everything. And we all know that he's not. He's sitting in his mansion doing nothing.
Yeah, but he's part of Major League Baseball that has been briefed on what potentially could happen here, guys. We're talked about it through their union. They've been on probably emails, the back and forth, some of the league heads, some of the players that represent them. Guys, we might have to go away for 4 months if we want our $30 million. So why shouldn't he be briefed on that or talk about it?
I didn't say he shouldn't be briefed on it.
Yeah, I mean, they've been elevated and propped up forever as professional athletes.
I know, but my point now is that we're doing without them. We're doing all this without them, and I'm starting to wonder what the hell why do we adore these people? Why do we worship these guys?
Because it's sport.
I know we don't worship, literally worship. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's just entertainment. I get that, but then they start to try to come down to the everyman level and talk about their hardships and their view of things. And it really doesn't line with anything.
Yeah, but that is a hardship when you're trained to work out and play a certain way and have a season play out a certain way.
Well, that's not this what Chris Sale talked about. Chris Sale was talking about being away from his family. So,
living through a flat screen with your kids, it sucks.
I don't think Chris Sale was talking about the greater good of humanity here. I think he was saying for the greater good of baseball, to be able to have a season, you know, we've got to do it. We've got to get on board for our sport. The greater good of our sport. I did not take him to mean like the greater good here in life.
He talked about, hey, we're in a world pandemic here. People, wake up. We need to adapt. He said that. He flat out said that. It's a world pandemic. We need to look at things differently. But we also need to function and get back to playing a sport here because that's our job.
I understand, you know, the caller and the frustration there because everything gets magnified right now. You see some people who are really, really struggling or some people who are really, really putting themselves out there. And then anyone else that talks about it, you think, oh, he doesn't have it that bad. And it conjures up the notion that why should anyone jump through all these hoops, whether it's baseball or basketball or hockey, not only to accommodate them, but to even accommodate themselves. Like, in the overall scheme of things, is it important? No. And that's what all gets put into, like, you know, stark relief right now. Okay, what's truly important? But I think for the most part, sports fans want sports back, and these guys want to play.
You.
And
if they it have gets the, you. If, yeah.
If they have the ability to do it without doing anything to disrupt, you know, an overall like you said, you know, the well-being of the public, and they're not going to put themselves or anyone else in danger when they do it. I'm not going to begrudge anybody for trying to get back to work right now, but I understand how it can be frustrating to hear anyone talk about, like, oh, how difficult it's going to be, where your difficulties aren't all that bad. What sucks is the only other option is to just say, okay, just cancel. We're not going to play at all this year. And to a lot of guys, to the players and to the owners and to all the people who make their livings around the team, not to mention the fans who just want it, that's not a viable option. Until your hand is absolutely forced on that, I think most people, whether they're with the team or just a fan of the team, would like to see these teams and these leagues try and do something so that they can have some kind of a season.
Well, we went after Chris Sale pretty hard last week and the Red Sox. I would say the Red Sox and Sale to a lesser degree on his choice of having an elective surgery during this time. Chris Sale was asked about that today, and he had an answer on it. You'll hear it next.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris Chris Sale had Tommy John surgery last week. It was elective, obviously. Took place by Dr. Neil Elitrash out in California, out in L.A. Chris Sale was asked about having that elective surgery during a pandemic today on a conference call.
Yeah, so that was a big part of it. And that's, I guess that's why I'm talking to you guys now instead of, you know, 2 weeks ago or, you know, 10 days ago or whatever it was. That, you know, going through all this, there were a lot of things that we had to do to make sure that this was right. And, you know, Dr. Elitrash and his staff, I think it was Cedars-Sinai and UCLA, I mean, they were on a daily conference call with people making sure that what we were doing would have zero effect on anybody else dealing with this virus. Because, you know, that was number one until we got under the knife, was making sure that this was A, going to be possible to do, and B, this would not take away the slightest bit of anything from anybody having to deal with this. Because at the end of the day, a virus is much more important than fixing my, you know, bum elbow. And Elitrash made that, you know, point many, many times to me that, you know, we got to do this the right way. I even got tested for the virus once I got out there. Obviously, it came back negative. And that was a big deal for us to make sure that this was the right thing to do at the right time and wouldn't affect anybody else that was suffering.
Well, he certainly said all the right things.
But he sounds informed about it. Like, okay, we did, you know, the conference call part of it. And yeah, the concern over it. Red Sox got crushed more for it than he did. He's their property. You're hurt. They own you. They pay you. They tell you got to go get your surgery. You're going to go get it. But there's got to be protocol. I'm sure they had to follow somewhat, right?
What protocol? What are you talking about?
Well, as far as when you get out there, we got to get you tested. It came back, it's negative. Okay, now we can put you under the knife. Make sure there's a room clear.
But it still happened.
It still happened, right.
It still went on. States had banned that exact surgery, and there was still a shortage of PPE.
I don't fault him 1 second.
And you've got people with real surgeries that are getting pushed off, that are considered elective. We talked to Myron Roll last week talking about people with brain tumors that are having their surgeries put off at MGH. So spare me the whole we gave consideration thing. Like, yeah, no, I don't think your bed was going to be used for someone who is in need of it because of coronavirus. But some of the resources that were spent on it, I'm sure, could have gone elsewhere. That was the point. So yeah, I'm not buying that. Not buying it from him. Not buying it from the Red Sox. But we've covered that. One more thing from him. He mentioned he got tested for it. He thinks he may have had coronavirus based on him having pneumonia. Remember that, Zoe?
We've talked. Yes.
Yeah.
Here's Sale. Spring training. Go ahead.
Here's Sale on that.
With you having had the pneumonia heading into spring training, did at any point did it cross your mind at all that, hey, maybe I had this and maybe that I've been through it? And
honestly, 100, yeah, no doubt. Like, that's been talked about a while, and I actually want to see. I don't know if there's a test now, but I think they're working on a test to see if you have antibodies for it, like meaning that means you've had it, like to take a test to see if you've had it.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy to look at my symptoms and think about the symptoms of, you know, people that have the COVID-19 virus and some of the similarities. We may never know, but I'm definitely hoping not.
So he thinks he may have had it.
I've talked to multiple doctors. Like I said, one loves listening to our show.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's absolutely could have been here, and we haven't known about it. And you're lucky that it didn't get to the point where things went dire for you or someone that you knew that had it, and you didn't get rushed to the hospital where it was too late, and we didn't know what the hell this thing was, you know?
So
just because you have it doesn't mean it infects everybody around you, too.
Yeah, the antibody test, it was just approved the other day. And I saw that the FDA had just approved it. So yeah. It's now up and running in some places, some spots, for people who may have had it and may have been exposed to it. Gabe is in South Carolina today. Hey, Gabe.
Joe, what's up?
Hey, Gabe.
What's up? What's up, Vito? What's up,
Hattie? Hey. What's up?
I'm down here in South Carolina. I listen to you guys on the app every day. I just want to say thank you guys for still being on. And I just want to say, man, these guys being paid millions of dollars, you know, nothing against you, Zo. I know you were a pro too, but you know, we got soldiers, you know, that go overseas for months away from their families, getting paid pennies basically. And these pros are complaining about doing it for a couple of months, you know, to get their millions of dollars. And
those guys kind of know what they're signing up for, though. You know what I mean? When you get in the military and you're serving time and you know that this is going to be part of where you get deployed to, and you're going to have to do stints over there, and you're going to go back and forth, and your family could live in military housing. Those guys know, and I love what the military does.
Yeah.
You know, I got military people in our family. Yeah.
I'm
American.
Proud supporter of the military.
Got flag. You know what,
Because,
Beal,
you know,
me?
I know there's
my flag
a lot of guys
shredded.
Who just hate the military.
I got to get my ass out. I got to get me more flags today.
A bold, bold position you've taken, Scott. Very brave of you.
You're going out on a limb there. I support the military.
But
tanks.
This kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Like, anybody who's talking about sacrifice or anything,
you can't compare
at this
military
time,
to pro athletes.
Yeah, you're not going to get any sympathy for pro athletes. But if they're going to answer honestly, hey, Chris, you're not even playing right now. You just had Tommy John. You're expected to be with the team and do all this. Do you want to leave your family for 4 months and live in a hotel in Arizona and watch other guys play baseball? What do you think his answer? No, I don't want to do that.
Didn't he kind of answer that? Like, we don't want to talk to our kids through a phone screen, okay?
Right. This is what we beg for all the time. Just give us an honest answer, whether it's a player or a coach or a commissioner. Just be honest. And to anybody who says, I'd like to play ball, but I don't want to go live in a hotel in Arizona and not see my family for 4 months. Yeah. I'm not gonna get on their case for being honest and giving an honest
answer. You're
gonna
ask that guy.
And I'm also not gonna try and compare his sacrifice to what, you know, the people in the military or, you know, police or firefighters do. What they do is so much. That's a real sacrifice. Or the frontline healthcare workers, that's a real sacrifice. We get it. Yeah. But in just the bubble, you know, under the microscope of what you want to do, do I blame them for not wanting to do it? No, of course not.
Yeah. So you're saying that same Chrisell guy that snapped and cut a jersey because they wouldn't let his buddy's teenage kid in the clubhouse? That same Chrisell?
See, now you are trying to turn him into David Bryce. You're trying to turn him into this, like, most dislikable guy ever.
I think he answered that as honest as he could without just flat out saying no. Like, he even said it's going to be a case-by-case basis and living for months, and you don't want to see your kids, and my wife's going to lose her mind. He said no without saying no. I thought he was really good with the answer there. I thought he was good today.
So you're on board with Chrisell now?
I've never not been on board with Chrisell. Like, give me more of this Chrisell. So, you know, climbing a mountain and changing my shoes. Every day I open it up and you got to set your goals. It's another day. It's another day down. We're not gifted tomorrow. Yeah, we're not granted that sun's ever going to come up again. We don't know that. I don't want that Chrisell. I want this Chrisell we got today. That's all.
A couple of items for you. One from PJ who says, Manch Vegas – not going to happen. Boys,
what's Manch Vegas?
You've never heard Manchester be called Manch Vegas?
I've heard Marshfield, Marsh Vegas.
Marsh Vegas, yeah.
Yeah. Route 139.
Manch Vegas has been referenced for years. So Manchester is a proposed site for the NHL. And he says, boys, there are no good hotels in Manch Vegas, especially for the amount of teams they are talking about. All the hockey teams would need to stay in Boston if they want the hotel comforts that they're used to.
You're right, Beal. These guys stay at the damn Ritz, okay?
He says, and then they'd have to get bussed up to Manch Vegas, which would then take an hour. Love the show, as always. PJ. I don't know what... Does anyone know the rules right now in hotels?
I thought five-star hotel was written into their thing.
No.
Like, they don't stay...
I'm talking about in the real world right now.
I don't know.
Can anyone go to a hotel
right now.
What are the rules on hotels at the moment?
I think they vary place to place. I think everything varies.
Yeah, I think the first rule is you got to find one that's open.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of hotels have closed, but they could make arrangements to have hotels, I guess, in Boston and then play up in New Hampshire. And you'd say, why not just play in Boston? Because I don't think the state of Massachusetts would let them do it. That's what I think it comes down to. So I think that they're going to hit roadblocks locally wherever they decide they're going to try and play these games. They're going to need permission to do it.
Hey, at least they're trying to.
I do give them credit for that. At least they're trying to figure something out.
They got to figure stuff out. What happened at the cruise ships? Yeah,
yeah, Jim. What happened at the start of the conference call with Sale? What was going on there?
You want a little preview? We have a bunch of clips to play.
Yeah, can we get a little preview and then we'll play them next?
Hi everyone, it's Kevin Gregg. I just want to remind everyone to use the mute button so to minimize background noise. Thank you. Until the call begins. Right. Thank you.
More
sounds
of that
like
next.
My, sounds like
more
my house.
That's coming up next.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everyone. It's Kevin Gregg. I just want to remind everyone to use the mute button so to minimize background noise. Thank you. Until the call begins. Right. Thank you.
I mean, it sounds like my kid on his Google Classroom conference calls.
Oh, my God.
What was that other thing in there, too? Was that Alex doing Brady's leg? That there was a...
What is that?
It was in there.
That's just a repeated beating going on.
I think that's some sort of echo. You'll hear another example of that later on.
Kevin Gregg, who works for the Red Sox, is like, guys, what the hell? Hello, idiots.
So you dial in, and usually it says, like, press star something to mute your line. There's no option. You have to mute your own line.
And I'm guessing, like, if you could get Kevin Gregg's real reaction there, he'd be like, guys, WTF, what are you doing? Like, if he could say what he really wanted to say,
I'd hang up these people on the call. If I'm Chris Sale, like, I'm not doing this.
You want some more?
Yes. Sure.
And we are fortunate to have him on the line now to take your questions. But that being said, for the third time, I just want to ask everyone to please, if you intend on listening, put your line on mute. We hear a lot of background noise right now. That will not be a call.
It's a woman yelling.
That being said, I'd like to open it up to questions.
Not
for
that
Chris.
Woman.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, my God. For the third time, I have to ask you idiots three times.
Hey, look, I don't know any other way of saying this, but lady, you got to pipe down. You either got to be quiet or find the mute button, and we can't do anything until you do.
So who always gets the first question at these?
Johnny Miller.
Do you want the first question?
Yep. Sure.
Who will you work with down in Powder?
I know
Hardy, that's a new bit right there. That's a song.
I missed what he said. What was that?
So you can keep quiet for 1 second?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Seriously.
You there?
Oh my God.
Wow.
It's so bad.
Oh my. Is there more of this? Tell me
with
this
where I'm at right now. You know, I've been chasing a ghost for 7 months right now.
Here we go.
Or up to that point. And to have a definitive answer, to have a finish line.
He's been chasing the ghost, and the ghost just took over his phone.
All right, everyone, apologies again. Not sure what's happening there on the line, but Chris, I'm sorry. You can probably just go back into your answer.
Sounds like someone's trying to remix my answer, T-Pain style.
Yeah, remix it T-Pain style, right, okay.
Like, well, someone's trying to remake my answer, the T-Pain style. I wanted my finish line set up for it, but chasing a ghost for 7 months.
Oh, man.
The finish answer, to have a finish line. Finish line. Finish line. Finish line. Finish line.
Who drew Hardy again? They fixed you from yesterday. It's a little better. They still got that damn boat portal, that window by you with a wave outside.
Oh, I don't even get to see it anymore. I'm
it's better than yesterday's.
No, I can pull it up elsewhere. I'll take a look. Because if that Michigan jersey is still up there.
It's gone.
It's right. There's a different one up there.
We're going to have some issues here.
No, they've got the they've got a Michigan State jersey up there now for you.
Okay. All right. That's better.
All right. But I think was it Magic 32 there or was he 33? I can't remember.
33.
Oh, it was 33. Why did I think he was 32?
I don't know, but that normal background, I've got the jersey that you gave me, Beetle.
That's right.
Yeah, it's 33.
Did you guys when you played
jersey
high school,
was a gift, Hardy?
Did you wear even at home and odd on the road in basketball? Like our home uniforms were white, but they were even numbered. And on the road, we wore dark.
Let's get back to Chris Sale. Let's get back to Chris Sale, please. We got more Chris Sale audio that Jim cut up.
TV, do whatever. So, I've definitely enjoyed
Cisco Unity connection messaging system. From a touchtone telephone, you may dial an extension at any time. For a directory of extensions.
This is the worst conference call in a history of conference calls.
This is amazing.
It's a nightmare.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously. No, real quick. These baseball writers, they do nothing but do these, right? You know how to call into a conference call. You dial in, you punch it in, you sit there, and you wait. And usually the PR guy directs who is next. This is easy. This isn't like their first conference call ever.
No, the Red Sox do a lot of conference calls. Yeah. Jim, was there something different about today? Did they switch services or something?
Server, probably server.
They used the same service last week for the Heim Bloom one. I don't know if they had any issues on that one. I didn't listen to the whole one, but you want the finish here? They're finishing it off saying thank you to everybody?
Yep. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Chris, for joining us on the call. We apologize for the for the odd sounds there and for the background noise. So we're definitely going to be moving to a new conference call service after this one. So stay tuned for some details on that. And everyone, stay safe.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That is awesome. That is something.
Wait, type in there, Hardy.
We're going to use a different service next time because this was a disaster. That's what that was. Let's get to today's takeaways. A couple of good items, including Hardy's dog nearly being kidnapped this morning. That's next.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right. Today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Everything's virtual now. You're working from home. You're hanging out at home. They're working from home. Are the Awaken 180 people. Get your consultation through the World Wide Web. Check it out at awaken180weightloss.com. 6 locations. Hey, you're sitting at home. You might as well lose the weight at home. All right. How many we got today?
What we got?
Two. Hardy's stupid dog?
We got two. One is on you, Zoe, talking about a spot in Wrentham and people going out and doing whatever it is they want to be doing outside.
Chose Rock.
This is you on that.
There's this conservation land less than a mile from my house out here. This Joe's Rock where everybody – and you should have seen the cars lined up.
I'm sorry, it's called Joe's Rock?
The Wrentham police shut it down last night. They're like, we're done. We've had enough of
this. Who's Joe?
See, I don't know who Joe is. But I've been living out here for 30 years. Joe's Rock is right there. They have Birchwold Farms. It's all conservation land where you walk the dogs and you go out past. You can walk power lines for miles out here and go out in the woods and get lost. And there's just people. One nice day yesterday, 65 degrees, and all the morons come here and flock to it. And there's cars up and down the road. People just don't get it still. Like, this is the point of it all. Like, okay, you're making all these plans. Are you really going to stay there? Are
well,
you really
Joe's Rock sequester? Is such a draw, man. I mean,
I hear someone typing.
Do you really Beetle, need you're to doing get the same out with your little bike uniform and ride your little cute bike with your tight pants and your stupid elf shoes? I hate bikers.
77 acres, it says. No, nearly a mile of trails, Hardy. I looked it up earlier.
You could see Providence from up there.
And then we got an email from Kevin who says, Joe's Rock was a gay hookup spot for a while. Not sure if that's well known.
He would know. He would know.
He says, but I'm from Plainville, and it's well known in this community.
Oh, Kevin. Really?
Yeah. It's like the Back Bay Fens.
Yeah.
Or, like that
pumps
spot,
our gas.
That spot in the Blue Hills that you don't get out of your car and go look at the Boston skyline. Or you do if
you're thinking of,
looking
you're thinking
for a little
fence.
Something more.
You're thinking of the Fens where they jingle the keys or the whistle.
Me? That's what Hardy said. He mentioned the Fens.
Oh, he did? I'm sorry.
I mentioned the spot in the Blue Hills.
There's Blue Hills got one out there, huh?
I didn't know about the spot
you know what?
In Blue Hills.
Sosie's always going hiking out there on Blue Hills.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's a rugged double bear.
Hairy.
I like when he goes hiking because then he puts this big diatribe on Twitter. Thou says I walketh down thy path. I cast my eyes down this once upon a trail. Like, what are you doing? You writing books?
Everything Sosie does is poetic, my friends. That's all I have to say.
It is. I mean, great you're talking man. About he sat there and he probably thought, how am I going to pen this moment?
Yeah, you want to go on a hike, you want to go on a run, just do it, Kipling. Leave the rest of us out of it afterwards.
Just post a picture. I'll take the picture and think what I think.
Sosie, I hope you're doing well, bud. Thinking of you.
I talked to him the other day. We did the Bob Sosie draft show.
His family's making some sacrifices on the front lines of this thing now.
I bet they are.
His wife's been through hell and high water, man. But, they got a good support group over there.
Let's get to this. Hardy on his dog today, nearly kidnapped on the streets of Canton. Let's get
that's
it.
Accurate. Well, I had something weird happen on the dog walk this morning. Not to, I would say not to derail us, but what the hell else are we going to do?
Right, exactly.
I'm out walking the dog this morning, and a guy does a real slow roll by, and I'm the only one out on the sidewalk. There's
that's different.
Very little traffic, and the guy's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he's given me and the dog like a real long look, real slow. He drives past us a couple hundred yards, goes into another little side street, turns around, and drives back. Now at this point, I'm on full alert. The dog is
he's scoping your neighborhood out right now.
Right, and the dog is perfectly happy to stop, and she can just sniff for a second. He drives back. He's going the other way. He rolls down the driver's side window, and he says to me, "What kind of dog is that?"
And what did you say? Yeah, dummy. But do you know anything about dogs? I mean, it's pretty obvious what kind of dog Hardy has.
Well, I said, it's a lab. He goes, full-bred lab, huh? I said, uh-huh. And, I mean, my radar is up on this guy, and then he slow rolls away.
Did he take out a note card and cross it off?
Back the direction he was originally coming from. Like, he was literally out, like, searching for, a dog breed that he wasn't quite sure of. Had to ask that question, and then he went back to wherever he came. I came home, I told Marcy, and she is convinced now the guy wants to dog nap the dog.
Well, your wife knows what she's talking about. I would have to say.
The guy's probably trying to get a drag. He's probably a numbers runner for some bookie from Canton down to Stoughton, and he's just trying to pull off some side street, and there's Hardy walking his dog all paranoid.
No. He slowed down when he approached us the first time. And you know the most unsettling thing about him is, number one, you don't see a lot of people smoking anymore, period, right? Down south, out in Vegas, people still ripping butts. But there's just not a ton of smokers left in our part of the world. Not only is this guy smoking, he's got it hanging out of his mouth with the smoke blowing up back in his face like old
ashes
school.
Ashes falling on his lap.
Yeah, like, wow. What is this guy doing? Like, he is so intent on staring at us that the cigarette is just dangling out of his mouth. I did not consider dog napping to be
so
on the table, but
Cruella
I'll
DeVille
it.
Drives through your neighborhood this morning, and you don't even think for a minute that maybe you should take down a license plate. It's unreal.
all the, I mean, and again, I ask, well, Beetle, you're the wrong one to ask. You're constantly taking plate numbers down.
Well,
just,
I'd like
just
to,
for sport.
I like to consider myself a responsible citizen.
Yeah. You're a busybody is what you are. But normal human boys and girls don't walk around with a notepad taking down license plate numbers on a regular basis.
Hey, Hardy.
You got a special notepad suction cup to your windshield so you can take down license plate numbers. With which, what you will do, I know, I don't know. I don't know what you're ever going to do with a license plate number that you write down, but I'm sure you got a whole stack of them on your nightstand.
Hardy, my buddy down in the Cape just texted my buddy Dave, and he's got one of these big, like, Irish wolfhounds. It's like oversized dog. This dog's got a set of nuts, and Hank, lower than my grandfather's. He said he will send him up to guard you and your dog on his walk because this dog's badass. This dog starts fights. It's crazy.
My dog and I don't need any guarding, okay? And especially with a
sounds like you do.
Irish wolfhound, some crazy-ass sex-crazed gypsy dog.
This dog snaps. This dog crazy.
No, thank you.
My favorite part. My favorite part is that the dog napper managed to ask you if your dog was a purebred, and you were like, "Yep,
yep,
sure."
No, I didn't say anything.
And he's like, "Perfect,
Beetle. We're looking for poodles.
No,
we're looking for bulldogs and a lab."
Pure I should have answered. No, no, she's a mutt. She's worthless.
He's like, I've got a buyer in Ohio that's looking for one of these.
I don't know that there's a big trade in in stolen dogs. I mean, maybe if it's like a show dog or a Pomeranian or something. But like I said, dogs are chipped. My dog is chipped. I can tell you where that dog is in an instant. Not going to be able to take my dog and get away with it.
All right. Well, don't let your dog out unsupervised.
That's right.
Because that guy in the Honda will be back.
We don't do that anymore anyway, now that we found out that she's trying to dig a hole down to China. She's going to go get to the patient zero of the corona by herself. She's going through my front yard to get there.
That dog's still digging holes.
No, not anymore, because we don't let her outside unattended. She did it three times after I thought I had put down a pretty clear household rule. No one lets the dog out anymore unattended. And I come home from work two more times and see the same spots dug up.
Yeah,
and
sprinkle some cream of tartar out there.
She's got a good work ethic. that guy in the car is going to come back tomorrow and inspect your teeth when you're
that
not
dog's
looking.
A digger, huh?
Like
that dog's
like
a digger,
horse.
There,
get a good look in there. See what they got going on.
You want to know why the dog is not left outside alone anymore? Because they knew Daddy was really mad this last time. You know how you know? When Daddy says nothing. Daddy doesn't give a lecture. Daddy doesn't pull everyone and sit everyone down. Daddy said nothing that day. And since then, the dog has been watched.
Very right. Good.
Another day down. Hey, thanks for hanging with us, people. We appreciate it. We're here for you each and every day.
Absolutely. Felger Mass coming your way next. Enjoy the afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.